Welcome to the show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Cause there's so many things I wanna do. And girl, when I watch you move, you're giving me ideas like pillow talk,
yeah.
Rub you down,
yeah.
Drinks on the rocks.
Well, it's a private party,
and I know I'm a lucky man.
Cause on a scale of 1 to 10,
I'll say it again.
What's not to love?
Yeah.
When I wake up in the morning, love, I thank my God above for you.
I'm so thankful, yeah.
What's not to love? There ain't nothing I won't do to make sure that I can spend my life with you.
I
love everything about you, girl.
Girl, turn yourself around so I can see the love that I found and all the special things about you.
And girl,
the way you fit that dress, you're giving me ideas like pillow talk,
yeah.
Rub you down,
yeah.
Drinks on.
Yes, that is Tony Grant with What's Not to Love. Thank you for calling in, everyone who's tuning in by the sound of my voice. Miss Madeline, I thank you so much for your awesome, awesome work. This is 100% with I Am Blessed, your host, Tanya Jackson. Today we have live in the studio, Mr. Byron Joyce. How are you, Mr. Byron?
Hey, Tanya, how are you?
I am blessed.
Yeah, well, I am likewise. I'm having a wonderful day today, man. It's a good day to be above ground.
Yes, amen. Yes, it is. So I thank you for coming on, being a part of the show today as my guest. And I just want you to share your journey with us.
Well, we're privileged to just be a part of what you guys are doing here, Tanya. Man, you do a wonderful job, and man, we're thankful to God first of all to be a part of what's happening. You know what I'm saying, on the internet radio and the things that you're doing, man, and the great things that you represent. So it's as well as an opportunity. It's a privilege to be a part of what you're doing.
Yes. So let's talk about your history. Take us to when you first started out. Like, what was your passion and drive?
Well, Tanya, you know, I'm a former drug addict and alcoholic. I was basically strung out on crack back in the 80s, shooting at people in and out of jail. That was my lifestyle. That's what I did. It was a tough time for me in my life. I knew that I was doing bad things, but I knew inside that I wasn't a bad person. And one day while locked up, I was in a situation where the guy in the hallway, he was a little hall man, and I thought I was a bad guy back in that day. You know, I was in the cell, he was in the hall, and he was handing out the bananas and the Frosted Flakes to us in the sales for our breakfast, and I asked the guy for an extra banana, and he basically riled up at me and was like, I'm not giving you nothing. And man, I'm telling you, I'm angry now, and I get, you know, real belligerent. I'm like, oh man, they ain't your bananas. I said, let me get another one of those bananas. He told me, I'm not giving you nothing. By now, we're cursing back and forth. And then I dug myself, Tanya. I was saying to myself, I said, a little voice spoke in my head, and it said, here you is with all this potential, with all this wealth of knowledge, and you standing behind bars begging for a banana like a monkey. And I said to myself, Tanya, I said, you know what, I'm never coming back to this place again. And a little voice in my head said, if you don't change your ways, you'll be back. So that really was the start of the journey, Tanya. They started from a bad situation, locked up in a bad situation, noticing that I had potential and wanting to get out, you know, and that ran me to a drug, a little outreach program that helped change my life called Showers of Blessings. It was out in Chesapeake in Virginia. It helped change my life. And from there, man, you know, I've been working with young people in sports, music, and entertainment, trying to do things to get them in place, get them in position to do some things for their lives. And out of those young people, one young girl wanted to be an actress. She wanted to be an actress, and I told her, I said, look, if you strive to be an actress, what I'll do is write a play, and I'll let you have the play, and you can go out and you can present it as a producer. And once I wrote the play, she didn't want to take that responsibility. She didn't want to take that step. But I went on and I produced the play, and it started from there.
Awesome, awesome. So tell us about the play. What's the name of it?
Well, the first one that I wrote. Now, you know, I have four plays right now, Tanya. The names are for one that we did the other night at the Roper Theater in Norfolk on the 18th. Is called Money Can't Buy You Love, and it's basically a play about a young lady who she only dates ballers. She feels like money is the thing that's going to bring her all the peace and all the happiness and joy in life, only to find out she has an ailment. And now money does not mean that much. I play a crackhead. I play her crackhead brother in the play. And basically doing a little portrait of what I used to be. But it's a hilarious play that has a great meaning to it. Good singing, great talent, Kalinda McLean, Jackie Ford. Man, we have some great talent out there doing some great things.
Yes, it was awesome. I had the pleasure of meeting you, and the play was awesome. It was phenomenal. So sold out show to all the listeners. So it was just awesome. Money Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah, Money Can't Buy You Love. We have a couple more. Like I said, Tanya, we have our Mama's Baby, Daddy's Baby. And that play we did last year, July. No, we did the year before last, in April, I think it was. And we did on last year on my birthday, we did Raymond Goes to Rehab. So it's three plays that we got written and are in circulation right now. And then there's a fourth one that I have written that we haven't put on the stage yet, and it's called Don't Stop the Music. So God has been blessing me, man, with a wealth of, I would say, inspiration to be able to write these plays, man, and the people love it. We're averaging maybe about 500 people per show. And I think we're doing pretty good with it right now.
Yes. So during your struggle as you were going through life, and you stated that you had to come out of it. So tell us more about how you did that. Like, what were your steps?
Well, as I said, man, the first step was recognizing that I had a problem, recognizing that there was something wrong. You know, there was something out of whack, was something out of place. And once I recognized that I had a problem, you know, and drugs was my problem, it had landed me in jail. Basically, I didn't have a real life, didn't have a job, you know what I'm saying, didn't have a driver's license, didn't know where my Social Security card was. And I was a man, I was about 29 years old, and here I am locked up in the city jail with no direction and no purpose. And I started to go to a little place called Showers of Blessings, as I said earlier, which was an outreach program set up at a church, Bethany Baptist Church in Chesapeake, Virginia. And they kind of taught me the values of being clean and sober. And then they gave me a strategy how to stay clean and sober. So that's sort of where it started from, you know. As a matter of fact, to this date, I'm teaching at that same ministry. I'm teaching at Showers of Blessings, helping others who have struggled with drugs and alcohol to be able to gain their freedom also.
For the listeners out there, could you let people know where they can go to seek help?
Well, right now, well, Showers of Blessings operates every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday night, and that's in Chesapeake, Virginia. That's 2587 Campostella Road in Chesapeake, Virginia, at Bethany Baptist Church. Also, there's a place called Marvelous Light, the Marvelous Light Ministry, that's over in Suffolk. That's at 324 Goodman Street in Suffolk, Virginia, at Sixth Street Baptist Church. These are the little, they are basically outreach programs, outreach ministries that specialize in drug abuse and alcoholism, you know, and trying to help people to get themselves back on track. I, Tony, I got a chance to put some of my struggles in a book that I published a couple of years back through Adventure Publishing Press. And it's a great little book called Half Dead. And half dead means you're still half alive.
Yes, I know. We're going to introduce the book in a minute. But for all our listeners out there who are struggling with drugs, struggling with some form of addiction, always seek help. And I, too, know a great place. It's called Onesimus House, and it's a halfway house for the males, and it's also located in Chesapeake, Virginia. So, again, if you're seeking help, you want restoration, you're trying to, you know, clean yourself up, again, these are three places that you can go that's in the local area. So.
Amen.
Yes, amen. We want to definitely get the information out there. So now we can go into the book.
Well, Half Dead. Half Dead is a book that I wrote, published maybe about 3-4 years ago, called Half Dead Means You're Still Half Alive. And it's a book basically telling my journey from the streets, well, from a perspective of a 13-year-old kid who was going through trials and tribulations in his home, and how he kind of depicted what he saw, how he felt about what he saw. And then in between each chapter, it kind of lets me go back and reflect how those situations helped shape me into the man that I am now. So it's a little nugget in between each chapter to kind of give people a little heads up about their situation, about how they can tackle some of their problems and knock down some of their elephants that they have in their lives.
Now, where would people go to purchase your book? I want you to let all our listeners know how they can purchase the book, how to get in contact with you.
You know, they can get the book, sister, from Amazon.com. You can get the book on Amazon. Not only that, you can get it at Barnes & Noble. They will order it for you. The book also can be purchased via my publisher at Adventura Press. That's AVVTURA Press.com. And last but not least, they can call me personally. The number is 757-359-4845. Contact me there on that web. I'm at my email address at JabberEnterprises19, and I'll be able to ship a personalized book out to them. As a matter of fact, they call me, I'll send them autographed books out to their location.
Okay, could you spell the Jabber for the email? Make sure everybody gets that spelling.
Not a problem. It's JABBAENTERPRISES19.
Awesome. Okay.
And that's at gmail.com. I'm sorry.
Right. You're okay. Repeat it one more time for us where they can get the information, repeat your contact information.
They can reach me on Facebook. You can reach me on Facebook at Byron Joyce or at Twitter on Jabber19 or on my email. They can reach me at Jabber, J-A-B-B-A, Enterprises, E-N-T-E-R-P-R-I-S-E-S-19 at gmail.com. Also, They can reach me by phone. That's 757-359-4845.
Great for all our listeners. And again, for the listeners, the call-in number is area code 347-857-2383. For any questions, you can call in. My next question is going to be, we talk a lot about restoration. So going through your journey, it was a process. So, you know, having the outlet to go to seek help and get help, what do you encourage the listeners out there that are doing this, that are going through the same things you're going through or went through and struggled with?
Well, the ticket is, Tanya, that I think, man, first of all, as I said, you got to recognize that you have a problem. You got to first admit that you have a problem. Tanya, you can go to the doctor, and you can walk in the doctor, and you can tell the doctor that you're sick. And the doctor will take hours examining you, trying to find out where you're sick at, what your symptoms are. But if you walk in the door and you let them know what your symptoms are, you know where you got pain, and you identify that to the doctor, it makes it just that more easy for him to identify your problem and give you a prognosis. This is the deal with the same thing with life. If we don't admit we have a problem, if we don't admit where we're hurting at, if we don't admit that situation is going on in our lives, it'll take people hours or years even to figure it out. But when we first be able to recognize that we have a problem and then verbalize that to somebody else, then we can be able to get some help for ourselves. Then we can get some change in our lives, man. And so I think it all starts from really being honest with yourself. You know, one thing about something I always learn, Tanya, is that you can fool other people, but you can't fool yourself. You know, I always just say, there's an old song I used to like by Earth, Wind, and Fire. It goes, the lyrics to the song goes, "Ain't it funny that the way you feel shows on your face? And no matter how you try to hide, it takes your case." So even if you don't admit it to people, man, most time people already know. So in order for you to get some help, you got to first admit you got a problem so that you can get some help.
Yes. For all the listeners out there, definitely I believe you have to be honest. So we have about 10 more minutes. So, again, for all the listeners out there, this is author and playwright, Mr. Byron Joyce, and I am just so thankful for you joining me today, sharing your story. And
As I said, it's a pleasure to be here, man. We had a wonderful time in meeting you. Out at the play the other night at the Roper Theater, we met you, man, and we were excited about just being in your presence. You know, I heard so many great things about you and the wonderful work that you do. So it's great just to be here, man, just to be here, just to be breathing. You know, we're working on a book right now, Tanya. We're in the midst of our second book, and the title to this book is called I Say Fly. And basically what it is a book about all of us who have dreams and who have goals, and but yet we sit around and we look at, you know, our stomach getting big and we say, oh, I guess that's just the way it is. Or we look at our bank account being low and we just accept it. You know, we have backgrounds that are not as favorable to people, so we take the lesser road. But what this book is about, man, people who have potential, people who have great things in them, and it's an inspiration to get them to get up and give it a shot. Give it a shot. Just take a try. And that's what I said that to say this, man. It is so awesome that somewhere you had a dream, somewhere you started dreaming, somewhere you started to believe that things can happen for you and that you can do better things. And what you did was you put forth the effort to get up off of your couch, get up out of your pity pot, get up out of your situation and say, you know what, I'm going to do something about this dream, about this goal, about this situation. And now what do we have? We have what you're doing here, man. And, you know, what I'm trying to do is inspire everybody that has a dream, that has a career, that has a goal to get up off of there, do nothing, and do something to change their lives, man.
Yes, you definitely have to write the vision. So, and I just thank you for sharing your vision with us and all the people that you've encountered. And I thank you for helping them because you shared their vision and you helped them and you birthed a play and plays. And like I said, I too love the play. It was just awesome. And I thank you again for taking the time out. And I just give all the glory to God because he is just so awesome and he's continuing to grow me. And I'm just thankful that you've taken the time out today to share your journey with us. And like I said, for all the listeners out there, the number is 347-857-2383. So share with us when you shared a little with us about when you started doing the play. So what was your first step when you first started doing the play? Like,
well,
how did you write the blueprint, as to say?
Well, the first thing was to learn more about theater and get some experience. Back in the day, I used to work with H&H Productions. I was in a couple of plays with them. Once I wrote my first play, came and I did a play with Calvin Cook. He had a position where I had a small part, but after the lead guy got hurt, I stepped up and I played a lead role and blessed the stage with the talent that I had. From there, I learned a lot of stuff. I learned a lot of technical stuff, a lot of backstage stuff that would prove valuable in me presenting the project that I had, you know, presenting the product that will be able to let people see the blessing that God had given me, the anointing that he gave me to write these plays. So I learned a lot being in a production with Calvin Cook, how to, you know, spike the stage and you know, calling out the cues and things of that nature. So I learned a lot like that. But I had already had my play written, but I didn't know much about theater, especially being a director and a producer.
Yes. I am really enjoying this. I'm telling you, I too am learning now also screenwriting 101. So
okay.
it's an exciting journey developing these characters. And my co-producer and co-director of my play, I've titled it, but I'm not putting it out there yet.
Okay.
Yes. So, being the play Money Can't Buy Me Love was based on some of your story and struggle. For everybody that's out there listening, what do you recommend as far as, like you said, getting formal teaching on how to write the play?
Well, writing, I think, is a skill that you learn, and it really is some things that's you know, you already possess. Being able to write a play, I think that people ought to take some schooling. Not only that, man, when you started writing, just write. Don't put no format to it. Don't try to do nothing special with it. Just write. And as you finish writing, man, you take your material and then you just present it. You know, you take and organize it as you get it. After you finish writing it all, you organize it and put your thoughts in it and finalize it, and then just go for it and present it. You know, like I said, there's some formal training out there. There's some schools that you can go to, but I've never went to school for this. Basically, it's a God's gift.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And again, I want to thank you for sharing your journey with us. And I want to say I am very proud of you, and I, too, am learning as well. So I thank you for being in the studio today, Mr. Byron George.
Okay, well, Tanya, I'm looking forward to future things that we can do with what you're doing here, man. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share my story with the world.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us here on 100% with I Am Blessed, your host, Tanya Jackson. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, Tanya.
God bless you. This is Tanya Jackson with 100% with I Am Blessed, and we're going to close out today. And our closing song is going to be Trisha Mann Grant, Don't Beat the Love Out of Me.
I dedicate this to my sister friend who has stood strong through many adversities. I love you, girl. You know who you are. This one's for you.
Love me tender. Love me sweet. Please just don't beat the love out of me.
I heard what you said on the phone.
What are you talking about?
I heard the conversation. I heard the whole
conversation.
Look, you think I'm stupid, don't you? You think I'm a fool. Look, you know, as a matter of fact, I didn't trust you. I can't trust you.
You can't
take your conversation. I take everything, and I heard what you said.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about, but I have the number faithful to you. If anybody's cheating, it is you.
Oh, really?
Who's Veronica?
Look, I got it on tape.
Who is Veronica?
Veronica?
And what do you mean?
Who is the guy you were talking to on the phone?
It was my uncle.
No, you weren't talking to no uncle.
I was talking to my
uncle. First of all, let me explain something to you. I heard every word that you said.
Oh, my God, you're so controlled. Look, I cannot believe you.
Hey, I know you hear me talking to you.
What are you doing? Get out of my face.
Who are you talking
go.
To?
Let me go.
What?
Your fists of anger and rage. I heard my girlfriend say the other day that her man came home drunk or high or on the strife of life. So he beat her with all his might. And when he couldn't find a knife, he picked up a 10-pound weight and wailed away at her arms and her legs as she begged for him to stop and go away.
Where's all that mountain at?
Not knowing if she'd live to see another day. She watched in horror as he kept pounding away and away.
You really need to stop.
Yet he didn't seem to give a care that this sweet little girl was standing there. Watching her mommy get beaten and bruised, mistreated, misused, till she turned black and blue. Until his arm was worn out from all the abuse.
Where you going? You so stupid!
This same man who turned quickly to another woman of another nationality.
That was Trisha Mann Grant with Don't Beat the Love Out of Me. You can purchase it on CD Baby at Trisha Mann Grant. For everybody that's in that situation, we here at 100% encourage everyone to seek help. I want to thank Mr. Byron Joyce for calling in, sharing his journey with us.